to throw. Has time. Over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. You can hit us up on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live, our 9:30 a.m. Monday through Friday Giants Talk Radio call-in show. We are taking your calls at 201-939-4513. Full bank calls as usual. You guys are on top of things. Before we get to you on the phones, just want to open with something that we've kind of touched on over the course of this free agency period in terms of what the Giants' plan is and has been, and just try to crystallize it a little bit more. Right now on Giants.com, I'm on the Giants roster page, proudly sponsored by Bob's Discount Furniture, by the way. And I'm just taking a look at some of the ages on these players, and I got to tell you, the Giants' best players are in that prime age area from 25 to 28 to 29. And they really don't have a lot of players on this roster anymore that are over the age of 30. I'm going to go through it for you. All right? Here are the only guys on this roster that are older than 28. All right? I'm going to just say older than 28. You got John Beeson, who's 29. Will Beatty, who's 29. Josh Brown, who's 34. Zach Diassi, 29. Daniel Fells, who was signed to a future contract, he's 30. Colin Jenkins, 33. Mathias Kiwanuka, 31. Eli Manning, 33. Antrell Roll, 31. Chris Snee, 32. Steve Weatherford, 31. You're looking at probably less than a fifth of the Giants roster is 29 years old or older. If you take out the 29-year-olds, you're looking at barely more than a handful of guys that are over 30. And if you take out the kickers, which frankly, who cares if your kicker's over 30 years old, you're basically looking at Eli Manning, Colin Jenkins, Kiwanuka, and Antrell Roll. And that's pretty much it. So we've spoken about how the Giants haven't made the playoffs for 4 out of 5 years. And I think wisely, due to the inconsistency in recent years, due to the 7-9 finish last season, the Giants decided that this was going to be almost a rebuilding offseason as much as it was a retooling offseason. They've gone out there. They've been active in free agency, but they haven't gotten stopgap guys. Like last year, Colin Jenkins, he was a great player, and he still is. Stopgap guy. But this year, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, 5-year deal. He's going to be somebody that's going to be here for a while. Jeff Schwartz, mid-20s. He's a guy that's going to be here for a while. Same thing for J.D. Walton if he works out. He's a guy still in his prime years. These are all guys that are in their mid to early late 20s that are in the prime of their careers. Rashad Jennings, another guy that are going to stick here and be here and be a part of the fabric of this franchise for a long time. And this is kind of what the Giants did at the start of the Eli Manning era when they brought in the Plaxico Burreses, who was in his mid to late 20s. They brought in the Sean O'Hara's, who was a free agent coming off his rookie contract. They brought in Kareem McKenzie, who was a young guy when they brought him in here. You know, they brought in these young veterans that would not only help right away, but also become part of the team. And when you don't draft as well as you would like, which I don't think the Giants have in the past few years, you have to find these younger guys in free agency to help be the cornerstone of your team. Now, there's risks here. You know, even if you're 26, 27, you're still a lot older than a 22 or 23-year-old. Chance of injury is increased. You have to pay these guys a lot more money than you have to pay guys in their rookie contracts. So there certainly are drawbacks to being this active in free agency. Now, it would appear that Jerry Reese did a phenomenal job, and Kevin Abrams, by the way, negotiating these contracts, in that this year's cap number is low. But also, there isn't a ton of guaranteed money pushed later on in these contracts, where if you want to, you know, move on from Dominic Rogers Cromartie, for example, for whatever reason, after a couple years, it's not going to blow your cap up and kill you. So Jerry Reese has found these young veterans, and that's how I'll phrase it best, young veterans that not only will help this year, but will help for years in the future and really become the new foundation of the franchise. Because the last few years, you know, what was your foundation? JPP, Tuck, Nix, you know, guys like that, and Linval Joseph. Those guys are no longer here. Terrell Thomas was part of that group. Kenny Phillips was part of that group. And those guys have now moved on. And this team next year is really going to be a new team. And I think that's a very good thing. And if there was a year you were going to do it, it was going to be this year. And I think what you're seeing in free agency explains even more why they decided to move on from Kevin Gilbride. It makes a lot more sense to install a new offensive system when you're bringing in a lot of new players. And you take a look at them and you say, well, these guys would have had to learn our old system anyway, so we might as well have them learn a new one along with our current players. Now, the number of changes on offense, maybe not as big as a lot of people thought. I still think there's a lot of work to do. I think the draft will be an offense-heavy draft, assuming that, you know, value presents itself where the Giants select on the offensive side of the ball. You know, they're still a little short on the defensive line, especially in terms of pass rushers. I get that. But, you know, this offense will be learning a new system together. We still have to see who the new tight end is. We still have to see who the new wide receiver is. Perhaps there'll be another new offensive lineman. But these guys will all be learning the new system together, and I think it made sense to bring in a lot of these extra veterans and make a lot of changes the same year you make a change on the coaching staff. And the real funny thing about it is that I don't think we really know what this Giants offense is going to look like. I got to imagine Coach Coughlin and Ben McAdoo kind of have this thing finalized upstairs by now, or at least they got to be close to it. They're going to want to have it ready to start teaching the guys when they start coming in the second week of April. But, you know, I'm not sure if it's written in stone yet. And I'm sure Jerry Reese has had a conversation with those two gentlemen and spoke to them about the type of players on offense they want to bring in. But I don't think we have much of a hint or clue yet what the offense is going to look like, because the Giants haven't added a bunch of people on the offensive side of the ball. You know, an offensive lineman and a running back is great, but Rashad Jennings could succeed in any system. I'm not worried about that. You know, I think the type of tight end you bring in and you want to start, I think would speak volumes about what this offense is going to be about. You know, what's going to be the body type of that wide receiver you bring in? Is he going to be a quicker guy like a Randall Cobb, or is he going to be a bigger outside threat like a Jordy Nelson, like you had in Green Bay, Ben McAdoo? So I think those will be interesting things. But the most important thing, again, the Giants have gone out there and they've signed young veterans. These aren't guys on the wrong side of 30. These aren't guys, except for J.D. Walton, coming off major injuries where they're taking flyers on people. These are legitimate players that can be a good foundation of this team for the next 3 or 4 years. And I think really that's what Jerry Reese started to build this year. And he'll continue to build it with whatever money the Giants have left in free agency, if they free up any more, the money they have coming off David Boss's contract after June 1st, and, of course, the most important day for every NFL team in the offseason, the NFL draft. Let's get to your calls at 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go back to our phones. Throwing markers at Dan there. I'm sorry. Let's go to David in the Bronx. David, what's going on, pal? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, David. What's up?
All righty. Say hello to my main boy, Paulie Dott.
You know, I have not seen Paulie Dots in a while, but Paulie Dott will be coming in on Monday morning, and he'll be co-hosting with me. So if you want to call back on Monday to talk to Paulie Dots, it's tough to catch him. He's always, you know, walking around at a very quick pace, but he'll be here on Monday if you want to talk to Paulie Dots.
All right. Well, first thing, I'd like to say about Kevin Gilly. Gilly's whole problem was he wasn't tactical enough. The key to last season, in my estimation, was that second Dallas game. If he had just stuck with the run, we were bludgeoning them. Stick with the run, we have won that game, and I think the season would have been a whole lot different.
I happen to agree with you. I think if he would have stuck with the run in that Dallas game, they probably would have had a better chance to win. But quite frankly, this Giant team wasn't making the playoffs anyway, the way they finished the year. And number two, the biggest problem last year wasn't the fact that Kevin Gilbride wasn't tactical. The biggest problem last year was the fact that the talent on offense stunk.
Yeah, you are so right, John. As for the fans out there, I would like to say, calm down about the defensive line. We got the OTAs coming. You got a guy named Marcus Kuhn. He was showing us something. Let's see what he does during the OTAs.
Well, and quite frankly, David, the Giants are going to be depending on Marcus Kuhn. With Linval Joseph leaving and, you know, Patterson not re-signed yet, Marcus Kuhn is a guy that is going to be a very important rotation player on the defensive line, so he better be ready to go.
Yep. And as for John, I don't know what it is, but it's just me. I hear a lot about Eric Ebron. I don't know too much about him. But I like receivers and running backs that give me yak. That's yards after catch, yards after contact. And this kid, Mike Evans, oh my goodness, he's a beast.
Mike Evans is a big, fast, wide receiver that's pretty unique in terms of his body type, no doubt about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was looking up about Larry Fitzgerald. He only ran a 4.66 in the combine. This kid is running 4.53. 6'5", 231. You can't teach length and height.
No, you're right. You cannot teach height. That's true.
Yeah, but thank you. I'm a long-time Giants fan.
Thanks,
from the days of Ron Johnson and the late great Troy Archer. Now just listen.
All right, I appreciate it, David. Thanks so much. Thanks a lot, man.
You're welcome.
Have a good one. And look, what I like about Mike Evans, yeah, the height's great. How about the fact that he was damn good in college? He was extremely productive. He was Johnny Manziel's number one wide receiver, running all over the place, making plays. And for a guy of that size to also have that speed, and in the end, speed is still going to be more important than anything else a wide receiver has. You got to be fast to get separation. And Mike Evans has it. Now, from what I've been able to gather, looking at a lot of the new updated drafts, I would not be shocked if Evans is off the board at 12. If he's there, I think you take a long, hard look at him. Now, you worry that he wasn't playing in a pro-style system in college. I don't know about his ability to run the full route tree, but the raw ability is certainly there. 201-939-4513. But he's right. You cannot teach height. Antonio's in New York City. Antonio, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Antonio. What's happening?
Well, I wanted to say this because I feel like, yeah, there have been some good decisions and there's had good, some bad decisions. I still don't understand why Justin Tuck will leave. You know, now I feel like they don't have that captain defense, you know, that gives out that that speech and that knowledge every other game.
Entree
Roll.
Roll is that guy.
Oh, well, I think he should be that guy, and also John Beeson.
Yep, him too. No question. I think both guys will go a long way towards filling the leadership gap left by Justin Tuck.
You know, because JPP hasn't done 5 years, so I don't believe he can be that leader speech. You know, but the fact is, I want to know, where are the wide receivers and tight ends I have not seen anything yet. The only person I've seen they picked up was Mario Manningham. That's good because I haven't seen him since the Super Bowl. But can he stay healthy? That's the problem I want to know.
I don't think let me put it this way. I don't think anybody knows how much Mario Manningham has left in the tank. I guess his physical showed his knee was healthy, which is a good thing. But how much explosion, speed, and quickness he has left, I can't speak to that. I don't think we'll know until we see him out there on the field, probably in exhibition games in the preseason. So I think we got to wait and see there. As to your first question, why Justin Tuck's not here, he got paid too much money. And if the, let me put it this way. Would you rather have Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie or would you rather have Justin Tuck?
You're right. I'd rather have Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie.
There you go. There's your answer. Very simple. In fact, the Giants actually got Walter Thurman and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie for almost the same price in the first year of their deals as Justin Tuck signed with Oakland.
But I also want to know, where are the tight ends and other wide receivers they picked up? I haven't heard that we have a tight end because Brandon Myers are gone. Where are the tight ends and the other wide receivers? Because Nick's is gone.
Honestly, I think at this point, you're looking at a situation where you're probably going to add those guys in the draft. I don't foresee any other big names coming in for agency simply because I don't think the Giants have any cap space left. Now, maybe they could clear some more by, you know, extending on Charol or something like that. But do you want to do that when he's 31 years old? I think that's a fair question. I think you're looking at improvement in wide receiver and tight end primarily through the draft. I think you'll see a, under the radar, low-impact veteran tight end signing at some point in free agency, but nothing that's going to get you all that excited.
And I also like to know that's good that they have two quarterbacks because I feel like Corey Webster is done and he's going to leave sooner or later.
Well,
so that's why you.
Corey Webster is gone. Corey Webster is no longer on the roster, Frank.
Oh.
Antonio, okay. I'm sorry.
That's all right. But I'm just like, are they going to pick up a tight end or wide receiver from the draft or is somebody going to trade or get free agency?
I think you're looking at the draft.
Okay.
Thanks, Antonio.
Take care.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, and I think right now that's what the Giants are looking at here, folks. I think they're going to get better through the draft at those two positions. I don't think it's going to be a big free agent splash because they don't really have any money left from what I could tell. 201-939-4513. Of course, I said that before they signed Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, too, so take that with a grain of salt. You know, all the numbers aren't out yet on NFLPA's website, so once they are, I'll take a look at it, see what I can get you. But talking to Rob Vacchione yesterday, who does a better job than I do, keeping track of that stuff with the salary cap, a couple million left, something like that, and I think that's what you're going to use on whoever this veteran tight end is you end up bringing in. And Maybe another veteran wide receiver. If you want to go that route, I'd be fine with that too. Though I think the Giants will also keep kicking the tires on these two, centers that are still out there, De La Puente and Wendell, who haven't been signed yet. And if their price continues to drop, if I'm the Giants, I would definitely take a look at one of those two guys. Even if it's a one-year deal and it's a flyer, that's fine. The fact they haven't gotten signed yet tells me that maybe the price has gone down. They're trying to wait for a good deal. But if they have to settle, this could be a place they could start. 201-939-4513. Mo is in Montclair, New Jersey. What's going on, Mo Manning?
Hey, I'm good, man. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hey, buddy, before I get into a few of my points, I want to ask you, how do you feel about these rule changes, man? Because I feel like, in my opinion, that they're, messing with the game too much. Give me just your opinion, because I had a big discussion with some family members about this.
Which rules specifically? There are a lot of them. I don't want to waste everyone's time on all the rules. Which one specifically are you worried about, Mo?
I was worried about when they was talking about messing with, the field goal post or something. I'm with moving the PAT back a little bit, but they was talking about something like moving the field goal closer or wider or something weird like that.
The way I look at it, I'm not sure if I'm in favor of moving back the point after. In my opinion, I think field goal kickers have become so good at this point. I mean, you're looking at most field goal kickers are kicking, 80-85% these days, even close to 90. What I would do is I would narrow the goalpost a little bit. I'd make it a little bit more difficult for field goal kickers to kick field goals. That way, rather than kicking the 52, 53-yard field goal, I'd, be more under the, probabilities and say, I'm better off going for it here rather than kicking the field goal from 50-something yards. And if you do that, the point after touchdown also becomes a little bit more difficult because the crossbars have been narrowed. So I think that's something I would look at. And if I had a solution for the field goal and extra point issue, that would be it. I would narrow the space between the goalposts, and that's how I would handle that.
Okay, I just wanted to get your opinion. But this is Big Blue Kickoff Live, so I asked some things about the Giants. Hearing that you guys talking about the tight ends, listen, I personally think that, you know, losing Pope was huge, and I think that we should not disrespect Pascoe. We should bring Pascoe back and show him some love financially because he's been here. He knows how to block and things. I think if we would have kept Pope, and even if we had drafted a young guy like Ebron and have a veteran like Pascoe to show him how to block and do certain things, that would be beneficial in his development.
You know what? I think they'll take a look at Bear. I think they really actually want to see a lot more from Larry Donnell this year. He's a guy last year that blocked extremely well, played through injuries. The coaching staff loves him. I think he needs to develop a little bit as a wide receiver. But I think they like him to take over that Bear Pascoe role from last year, to be totally honest with you. And keep this in mind, too. You know, Bear, one of the things that made him valuable was that he was not only a tight end, but he was also a fullback. And
exactly.
This year, they have both Hanoski and John Connor in camp. So I think that might also, you know, be part of the equation that would lead them towards not bringing Pascoe back.
Okay, and another thing that I had on mind was I think they kind of, like, played Booth a little bit. I thought he was, like, the most versatile lineman that we've had in years. I think that we should have just showed him some love financially and said, listen, we want you to be the center, because many times in that 2011 campaign and even other years, you know, he was rotating and he was doing his job and he was, you know, getting it done. So, you know, I thought that we could have brung him back at a decent price. I don't know what the numbers was that he signed with Oakland, but I just think that we could have brought him back and that would have shored up our line a little bit.
I think bringing back Kevin Booth would have been a good idea. He's valuable as a swing guy backup. He does all the type of things you want that type of player to do for your football team. That being said, I'll go back to what I said in my open, that the Giants want to get younger. Booth is on the wrong side of 30 at this point. And I think Giants believe some of their younger players, like a Brandon Mosley, if they decide to bring a Jim Cordell back, I think they would rather use those younger guys in that role than an older guy like Booth. That's my feel for it. Now, I wouldn't have necessarily gone in that direction because I like the idea of having a guy you can, you know, frankly know is not going to screw up sitting there that you can bring in at any time. I think that's a very valuable thing to have on your football team. But obviously the Giants wanted to get a little bit younger, I think, on the offensive line, and that's why they let Kevin Booth go back to Oakland.
Okay, and lastly, you know, taking a look at the 07 campaign, you know, we had guys that weren't big names. Like, you know, we brought in a Kavika Mitchell. We had Butler and them at safety. Jabril Wilson was decent, but we had Butler at safety. And we had Bradshaw was a rookie, and, you know, Ross and Steve Smith and Boss. You know, I think I kind of want to see that similar, you know, style this year, you know, because I know we have some gaps. So, you know, these guys don't have to be big names, but Kavika Mitchell came in, and he stopped some he was a gap stopper, I think, that you said earlier. And then we got production from some rookies. So, like we always said, you know, this is the most important draft in recent memory. So we have to get production. Listening to the owner talking about these guys have to play faster, we have to get them on the field, I totally agree. And I just look to see that kind of style from the Giants this year because, who's to say that you can't get production from a late-round pick? Bradshaw was a late-round pick. And, you know, we just have to play some rookies. I just feel like we're going to have a few rookie starters, or at least rookies, like, contributing heavy this year. But, you know, that's all I got, you know, today. It's still early. So, you know, I'm going to continue to listen and keep my eyes posted on all the moves that the Giants are making. And you have a good rest of your day, John, and I'll continue to tune in.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Mo. And just to something that he just said, I think, is right on the money. The Giants are going to have to probably play some young players on offense this year. You know, if they draft an offensive lineman early, that guy's going to play. If they draft a tight end early, that guy's going to play and play a significant role. So It's something to look at. James Smith tweeting to me, and I'm going to go through this again with you guys. I know it's hard for you guys to just go along with me on this. But he said, Rob Vacchiano says the Giants have 4.57 in space today. This is the tweet that Ralph Vacchiano sent out 22 hours ago. Why tracking the cap is impossible. NFLPA had $3.69 million in space for the Giants yesterday, $4.57 million in space today, but there were no restructures and no changes. So how the hell are you going to be able to track free agency when the NFLPA is altering their numbers with apparently without cause? So I'm not going to sit here and tell you how much cap room the Giants have. I don't know. I don't think websites know. I know the Giants know. But I do know they're getting close to not having a ton left. That's how I'll put it. And I don't think they would have forced that restructure on Kiwi unless they needed to. And I think they needed to in order to fit Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie under. So you can still make some deals here. You can still make some signings. But I think, leave it this way. No more splash moves for shakes out there. The splash is over. All right? You might have some small things. You know, maybe if De La Puente or Wendell's numbers really go down, maybe that's a direction they could look in. Something like that. But, you know, maybe a veteran wide receiver for $1.5 million or $2 million for a year, something like that. I don't think you're going to get much bigger than that. I'm just not going to sit here and try to tell you how much cap room the Giants have because I don't know. And I can do my math, but guys, this stuff is so damn complicated. The Giants have somebody upstairs whose sole job, it's his only job, and he has an assistant, is managing the cap. So they literally have two people up there just managing the salary cap. It's their job. They get paid a lot more than I do to do that job extremely well, okay? So I'm not going to come down here and, you know, go on the show and tell you I understand all the eccentricities of the salary cap. I don't. I got a pretty decent basic feel for it, but I can't tell you with enough confidence how much money they have left, how they can structure contracts. It's too complicated. All I'll say is this. I don't think there's enough money left for a big money contract. Now, they're going to get some money back off the cap after June 1st when David Boss is released, and that's going to be good. I know that's around $5 million. That's easy to figure out. That's going to get used on the draft picks, and they'll probably have a couple million, you know, on top of that. And remember, you don't have to use all your cap space either. If you don't use some cap space this year, it rolls into next season's. So you could use it then. And there's nothing wrong with that either. Remember, theoretically, next year you got to re-sign both Prince and JPP. I realize the cap is supposed to go up next year, but having some extra money is never a problem. So don't go out there and spend this money because you think it's going to disappear if you don't use it. It can carry over into next year. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones. Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing. Nothing. What's up?
Nothing much, Tim. What do you got for me today?
I got a couple of questions. Will the Giants sign Jared Allen? He is one of the best pass rushers.
Well, Tim, I don't think Jared Allen's going to come here. I think he's looking for a little bit too much money, to be honest with you. I think he's going to go to Seattle. They'll probably sign him for like a 2-3 year, $20 to $24 million type of contract.
Oh, and what about, well, I got another question. Will the Giants sign Sidney Rice? The Seahawks released him after 2 years.
Yeah, Tim, yeah, it's a good question. And one of my guys on Twitter, I'm trying to remember who it is, I think King, has been harping on me about Sidney Rice for 2 or 3 weeks. I know people go back and they remember the monster year he had for Minnesota very fondly. But you know what Sidney Rice has done since he's left Minnesota? That's my bupkis sound. Zero. I'm holding up a zero. I'll give it to you again. That's what he's done. So I can't get that excited about Sidney Rice. I know he's got some straight line speed. He's a terrible route runner. He's got a little bit of size. And if you can get him at like the veteran's minimum, fine, that's cool. I'd rather get somebody that's a little bit more versatile, that can, you know, do a little bit more than what Sidney Rice does. He just doesn't push my buttons, doesn't get me excited. I much prefer the wide receiver that's a much better, you know, tactician at doing his job. 201-939-4513. Tim, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, buddy. Let's go to Aiden in Queens, coming your way next. Aiden, good morning.
Hey, good morning, John. A huge fan of the show. I look forward to hearing from you and all your regulars like Len, Shakes, and Steve and the gang.
And by the way, Aiden, just a heads up to you and all the listeners, tomorrow we'll be adding a new regular to the show. For you guys that read a lot of the articles on Giants.com, Dan Salamone has been one of our excellent writers for a couple of years now, and he will be co-hosting with me tomorrow. We're going to try to get him to the mix a little bit more often. So you guys can give Danny a big warm welcome to Big Blue Kickoff live in the morning.
Oh, great. We all know that our foremost needs right now are tight end, interior line, wide receiver, and defensive end. I think that the top two are going to be addressed in the draft, but I have some questions on for some free agents with the receiving core and defensive end side. Maybe we can sign them on veterans minimums. What do you think, Austin Miles or Kenny Britt?
I would roll the dice on Kenny Britt before I roll the dice on Miles Austin. I'll take a chance on Kenny Britt's off the field issues and see if you can, you know, turn him around, see if Tom Coughlin can work his magic and turn him into a better citizen and therefore make him a more reliable player. Miles Austin's hamstrings are shot, in my opinion. I don't think he has anything left. The guy has hamstring injuries every year. Even last year when he appeared to be healthy after two games, what happens? He pulls his hamstrings. And when Miles Austin pulls his hamstring, it's not like a two-week hamstring. It's like a 6 to 8 week hamstring. His legs are shot, and I just don't see him being a good fit here.
How about on the defensive end side, Will Smith or Anthony Spencer?
Honestly, I would be willing to take a chance at a guy like Spencer. Now, the fact that nobody has brought him in to me raises a bit of a red flag. I think he could be a decent 4-3 left end, the same way Justin Tuck was here. He's an excellent player against the run. He's a good but not great pass rusher. But I think he has to be healthy. And the fact that he hasn't been signed, I think, might point to the fact that he's further away from playing than a lot of people think. Remember, he had a knee surgery last year. I believe it was in July, which cleaned up a couple of issues in his knee. Then he couldn't come back, and I believe he had microfracture surgery in late September. So he's coming back from a very serious couple of knee injuries. So his health is really a question mark. If he's healthy, he's a very good player, but I'm not sure that he is. And frankly, I think Will Smith is too old. The Giants want to try to get younger. Will Smith is on the wrong side of 30. I don't think that's the direction they'll look in.
All right, lastly, John, I have a dream scenario in the draft. You tell me if it's realistic or not.
Yeah, what do you got?
The first five teams, Houston, St. Louis, Jacksonville, Cleveland, Oakland, if they all pass on Clowney, they go for quarterbacks and tackles, is there any way you think the Giants could jump 6 spots to where Atlanta is? Because I think he won't get past Atlanta for, like, next year's first round and maybe a third and fourth this year and just go jogging out on defense and get Jadeveon Clowney?
Well, the Falcons are picking at 6, right? So
yeah.
There's no way that he's going to get past them. So you would have to make a trade then with Oakland at 5, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, is that 7 spots or 6?
That would be moving up 7 spots. So that would cost you, I'd probably say, your first-round pick next year and maybe a 3 this season. And I get it. You know, Clowney is a 4-3 pass-rushing defensive end. I understand the allure of trying to draft somebody like that. Number one, I don't think he's going to drop that far. And number two, I think if he does drop that far, I think Oakland would be damn fools if they didn't pick him.
I got you. Thanks so much, John. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, and thanks a lot. And, guys, I would not trade up if I'm the Giants this year. To me, the Giants right now aren't in the position where you give up extra picks to try to get one great guy. To me, the Giants are still trying to replenish their roster. They need numbers here as much as they need talent. I'm not saying they don't need a guy in the first round that's going to play right away. They do. But I think you can get that guy at 12. He might not be a super-duper star Hall of Famer, but he's going to be, I think, a potential Pro Bowl caliber player if you stay there at 12. And to me, that's good enough. I want to make all my picks this year. I'll even consider trading down in round 2 if that gets me an extra 4. I'd consider even trading down to, you know, 15 or 16 in round 1 if, you know, Ebron, Evans, and your tackles are all off the board. I'd consider doing that. I think that makes sense. I do not trade up. The Giants are not in a position right now as a franchise and as a team where they can give away picks. They're already one pick short this year because of the John Beeson trade. Remember that. It's only a seventh rounder, but still, it's a selection. And somebody asked me on Twitter if they've given out the compensatory picks yet for compensation for losing free agents last year. No, they have not. And remember, folks, this year's free agent class and what happens in this year's free agency affects next year's draft. So the compensatory picks, excuse me, that get given out this season are based off of last year's free agency class. So you got to look to see who the Giants lost last year in free agency and then figure out what type of picks they might get. And I'm kind of going off the top of my head here. I did not look at this. I don't believe the Giants really lost anybody big in free agency last year. They didn't lose anybody off the offensive line. They didn't lose any running backs. They didn't lose any wide receivers. Martellus Bennett. They might get a pick for Martellus Bennett. That's probably the number one guy, I would imagine. I can't think of anybody else that they lost. Hit me up on Twitter if you think I'm forgetting anybody. But I think Martellus Bennett would be the only guy the Giants could get a compensatory pick for. But I'll keep an eye on that. I think that gets announced sometime next month, if I'm not mistaken. And the schedule comes out next month, too, which is always exciting. We always run a contest here in-house just for fun. Everyone kind of comes up with their own fake schedule based on the opponents, and you know, we grade it out, see who comes closest and wins the contest. Maybe I can figure out some way to do that with you guys here on the show, too. You know, if you have any ideas, let me know. Hit me up on Twitter, hashtag GiantsChat. 201-939-4513. One of our Twitter followers. I cannot pronounce this person's Twitter name for the life of me. Divine LVY08. That's the best I can do. Does this mean the bromance with Lance Meadow is over? No, Dan is not replacing Lance Meadow. He's simply sliding in the offseason. Quite frankly, we have to bring Lance in. Dan's here all the time. A lot more convenient. Dan comes a lot cheaper. 201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Let's go to Keith in Pennsylvania. Keith, what's going on, buddy?
I got a couple questions, buddy, for you.
Yeah.
First of all, it's definitely, in my opinion, it's a mistake. If Ebron's there in the first round, it's a mistake for us not to pick him because there is no tight end that we have right now.
I agree, and that's why even 2 months ago, before this free agency period started, I looked at the free agent class at tight end, Keith, and I said, none of these guys to me is a guy I want to commit to long-term as my starter. I always thought where the Giants were going to find their long-term starter at tight end this year was in the draft, and I would have no problem with them picking Eric Ebron in the first round. I think he's a unique talent that can go a long way towards making this offense a lot more dynamic.
Right, because I don't see the two top receivers being at number 12. There's no way that Watkins is dropping the whole way down to 12. Ain't happening.
No, I agree. And by the way, people online bring up OC for a guy the Giants lost in free agency last year. They might get a compensatory pick for him, too. That's a good point. But I agree. First of all, there's no way Sammy Watkins is there. That's never going to happen. Sammy Watkins is probably a top five, top six pick, along with those tackles, Clowney, and the quarterback. So he's not going to be there. There's an outside shot Mike Evans drops, but I frankly would be very surprised.
Right. And one comment to Tim is, does he think we have $1 billion to spend for all the players that he wants us to bring in here?
Yes. I think the answer to that is yes.
With all these names he keeps bringing up, I'm thinking, where's that money coming from? Where's that money coming from?
You know, Keith, in fairness, though, I probably said the same thing to him one day when he wanted to bring in Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, and lo and behold, the Giants ended up signing him. So sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. It happens.
You're exactly right, buddy. All right, man. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the show.
Keith, I appreciate it. And look, I think maybe one name that's going to be said more than any other over the next month and a half is probably going to be Eric Ebron. And I get it. For the fans that, let me put it this way. If the fans that don't want to pick Ebron, just take 5 minutes. Search on YouTube for Eric Ebron highlights from this season. And you'll see why I'm so excited about a guy like him. His frame, his size, his ability to go up and catch the ball in traffic, his run after the catch ability. He has everything. Just look at some of the stuff online. That's all I'm asking. And if you come back and you say, look, I still want to draft an offensive tackle, I get it. Offensive line is a position of need. I'd have no issue with it. You get your tight end in round 2. cool. I'm good. But just do your work on Ebron. Read about him. I think he's going to be a better blocker than a lot of people think he can be. And to me, he's a unique player. These guys don't come out that often. And I'd be hard-pressed to let him slip by me at 12. 201-939-4513. Dominic is in Pennsylvania. Dominic, how are you?
Okay, long time no hear from.
Yeah,
I appreciate
Dom.
The show.
No problem.
I know that a lot of fans are calling in and they want more splash moves in the free agency, but, you know, I just have to remind everybody that, you know, we don't necessarily know, you know, what Ben McAdoo is, you know, what he needs or what he, you know, what type of personnel he's looking for based on the plays that he's going to call. There was a previous call that commented on Bear Pasco, and I think that, you know, we're looking at Bear Pasco through the eyes of a Gilbride system. So I just want to caution everybody to, you know, be open-minded about, you know, the personnel and the talent that the, you know, the Jerry Reese is looking for. And these guys, you know, you got to assume that all three of them are, you know, their ships sailing in the same direction between Coughlin, Reese, and McAdoo.
Now, Dominic, I agree with that, but just keep this in mind, too. That wasn't just the Kevin Gilbride system. It was also, in part, a Tom Coughlin system. So I think some of those tenants will be included in whatever they do with McAdoo this year. So just don't expect it to be like a full West Coast. It's going to be a blend. It will be different. There will be changes. But there will be some tenants from that old offense carried over into the new one. That's all I'm saying.
No. That's I understand that. Not, you know, if I alluded to anything outside of that, then, you know, I apologize. I just, you know, we don't know what to expect. So my thing is, you know, let's just say the previous system under the previous season, you know, we had personnel that fit a system, and play calling was based on the performance and talent of those who were on the team. So now we have, you know, we have different players, a lot of them coming from the West Coast. So my thing is, you know, we just have to be patient. I like the splash moves that we made in free agency. I mean, when's the last time we made so many splash moves in free agency?
No,
I can't remember.
It's been a very long time since the Giants brought an onshore role, and quite frankly, I'm not sure there's any more water left in the pool. You want to make a splash move, you jump in the pool, there's no water. Do you know what happens? Splat. So I don't think the Giants have enough water left to make any more splash moves. They might have a couple puddles here and there, but I think the pool's been drained, folks.
Well, let me ask you three really quick questions.
Yeah.
What of all the positions, the abundance of positions left in the free agency, where would you say the most abundant position is right now? Would it be wide receiver?
I think there are a couple running backs left out there. Maurice Jones-Drew hasn't signed yet. Chris Johnson's on the trade market. There are a couple of centers left, the second and third best centers, De La Puente and Wendell. The wide receiver spot is looking pretty thin to me at this point, to be quite honest with you. There are a couple defensive ends. Jared Allen, Robert Ayers is still out there, who I'm not a big fan of. I'd say those are probably the deepest positions left. We're actually going to put together a video later on today of the top guys left in free agency. I'll have a better feel for it tomorrow once I do the work on that.
All right. Well, I think that we'll probably make one more semi-splash move probably on the offensive line. It will more than likely be a center, will be my prediction. And the second question I wanted to ask you was, when is the last time we drafted an NFL-ready tight end, and who was it?
I'd say Jeremy Shockey.
That long ago?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Boss I wouldn't consider an NFL-ready tight end. He was a late-round pick and kind of a developmental guy, even though he did have some success his rookie year. I wouldn't phrase him to be NFL-ready. I don't think that's fair. But, yeah, I mean, I'd probably have to say it's Shockey, and before that it was Howard Cross probably.
Okay, and Ebron, do you feel – I mean, he's – I'm going to go look at tape right now on YouTube just to see what you guys are talking about. But in your opinion, is he NFL ready?
Yes, I believe Eric Ebron will come in right away. I think it might take him a little bit longer to become a physical enough blocker on the level. I think he's – further ahead as a receiver than he is as a blocker. But as a guy that could be a weapon in the middle of the field, catching the football, getting down that seam and being a playmaker, yes, he is as NFL ready as any tight end that's come out in the draft in a very long time.
Okay, good. Last question. What are the chances that Ryan Nassib will beat out Curtis Painter for the number two spot?
Oh, that's a really good question. Boy, I'd put it at...
We have to think about that.
No, you do.
We have to think about that.
And that's going to be a very important competition over the summer because I don't think the Giants are going to keep three quarterbacks again. I think Tom Coughlin drove him nuts last year using up an extra roster spot on a third quarterback. I give it right now a 40% chance.
Okay, good. All right, well, I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. I'll talk to you guys real soon.
All right, I appreciate it, Dominic. Good to hear from you. All right, we haven't heard from Dom in a while. And by the way, I shouldn't say since Howard Cross before Shockey. The Giants did draft somebody they thought would be an NFL-ready tight end. Now, I'm not going to give the name. I'm going to see if some of my old-time Giant fans out there on Twitter and on the phones can come up with the name. In 1992, the Giants selected a player in the first round of the supplemental draft. Let me restart that. I'm looking at the wrong column. That was Dave Brown. In 1992, the Giants selected this player in the first round of the draft overall. A tight end, and he was supposed to be their next big-time starter to replace Mark Bavaro. Name that player. And don't cheat by looking it up. I know who you are out there. I'm guessing either Anthony in Phoenix, Len, Frank in Tampa. I think those are the guys most likely to try to guess that name. Back to our phones. Oh, you know, I take that back. Jeff in Rhode Island's going to have it. Jeff, name that Giants tight end.
Would that be Dave Young?
No.
Sorry.
That's okay. By the way, Jeff.
I wasn't grabbing for my old Giants media guide. Okay?
No, that's fine. And Jeff, by the way, very, very funny story. I was in a meeting yesterday, and I was having a conversation with people, and I told them about your Travis Beckham IAT nickname, and it got a huge laugh.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad we're still getting some mileage out of that.
Yeah, we are.
It's nice to see that he has a rebirth with the Seahawks. I don't know how long that's going to last.
Well, I wouldn't quite call it a rebirth yet. I'd call it somebody throwing him a life preserver. How about that?
Yeah, a weighted life preserver.
Yeah. What do you got for me?
Just a comment and a question. It looks as if, you know, the Giants' feeding frenzy is over for now. And I guess we'll be addressing the, you know, tight end and D end and offensive line and running back and whatever else in the draft. It looks that way to me, although I would still like to see him, come up with another veteran offensive lineman before the draft.
I agree with that.
If it's affordable.
Yep.
And the other thing I wanted to know about this linebacker that we signed from the Ravens, is he much of an upgrade over Keith Rivers, or is he just another guy type player?
I don't think he's a big upgrade or a star, to be honest with you. I mean, if you look at the grades that Pro Football Focus gave him last year when he played, they said he was very poor against the run. He's your traditional strong side linebacker, though you'd like that guy traditionally to be better against the run. So I think Jameel McClain is not the long-term answer at that spot. I think he's a guy that you fill in there. He'll do yeoman's work. He'll be solid. He'll be fine. But he's not like a guy that's going to be challenging to make it to the Pro Bowl or anything like that.
Yeah, okay. So he's just basically just another guy, more or less.
Yep, you got it.
Okay. All right, Johnny, you have a good day. I'm sorry I blew it on the tight end question. I'll try harder the next time.
It's all right, Jeff. I appreciate it. Thanks,
okay, buddy. Have a good day.
Well, you know what? I got to admit, I love Jeff to death. I'm a little disappointed. Jeff, you should take that as a comment, by the way. That just shows you the high standards I have for your Giants knowledge. And now it's rolling in on Twitter. NFL Gents. Brown from Notre Dame. He lives in Clifton Park and my son C. Oh, really? How about that? Derek Brown is my man at NF Gents, football coach in Clifton. Who knew? See, how about that? That's funny. James Smith had the name. John Provisario had the name. Hashtag Bleed Blue had the name. So, excellent job, guys. Well done. 201-939-4513. And by the way, that Derek Brown pick did not work out too well. You had Derek Brown, then you had Dave Brown in the supplemental draft that same year, which took away their 1993 first-round pick. Yeah. Not exactly George Young's finest hour. That goes right up there with the Cedric Jones first-round pick and the Ron Dane first-round pick and the Tyron Wheatley first-round pick. Boy, is it a really wonder that the Giants struggled in the late 90s? Oh, man. Not a wonder at all. 201-939-4513. Rolando is in Fresh Meadows. What's going on, Ro?
Hey, John. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, brother. And let's not forget Rocky Thompson, also a number one draft pick that didn't do very well with us also.
All problems, yep.
Yeah, and he happens to be another 22. Like Bunny Face Wilson.
Well, look, let's not let the ship sail away on David Wilson yet. I think you have to give him one more year to see how he comes off this injury. But yes, right now the early returns for the first 2 years of your first round pick's career, the early returns are not good.
No, bro, I'm not giving up on him. One of the things that we as fans were giving up too soon on a lot of the draft picks, you know. We're not giving them that development time like we normally did, 3 to 5 years. We want instant, you know, gratifications, like first year, boom, you know, they're superstars. I'm not one of those guys. John, one of the reasons I called was I love the signings. I love the signings. I was, Justin Gilbert, first round draft pick guy, so I got to get off of that. You're convincing me to get on Ebron. I want to give you a little tidbit. He loves to be a Giant. He's in our backyard. He's from Newark, New Jersey. He's doing a promotional campaign for the shaving thing. And he happens to be around. So he mentioned yesterday that he loved to be a Giant because he was a Jeremy Shockey when he was in the neighborhood when he was a kid.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, I'm going to wait. Most of the time, I'll give you a whole bunch of stuff. But my question to you is, with the wide receivers we have on the roster, and since you're around the facility and you probably have better information than I would, if you were to make a scouting report or a judgment on somebody that we don't know, a la Victor Cruz, the Chris Adams, the other guys that we don't know about, who do you think among that group of wide receivers we have that you think might, like, we should, you know, keep an eye on?
Honestly,
yeah,
I don't know if there's really a guy on the bottom of the depth chart that I really think can be a guy that could step up and give you something this year. I mean, Tally's a guy that has been here, left, and he came back. But he's a smallish guy, so unless he can figure out a way to beat out Jernigan and Cruz, which I don't see happening, I can't see he being, you know, much of a factor. I was very unimpressed last year with the bottom of the roster receivers that they brought in, you know, rookie free agents and things like that. So I think what you'll look at this year is what rookie free agents you can bring in, what bottom, you know, late round draft picks or early round draft picks you can bring in to fill out the roster. My feeling wasn't that there isn't anybody at this point hiding on this roster, say like a David Douglas did a couple of years ago, that I thought could kind of step up and be that type of player. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I don't see enough of these guys running scout team, things like that, you know, to know if they're really impressing the coaches in some regard. I personally, from what I saw in training camp last year, wasn't blown away by any of these bottom of the depth chart wide receivers.
Yeah, but we don't need another slot receiver.
Right, exactly. That's my point. I think of the guys that are here, Tally's the best, but he's very repetitive since you already have Cruz and Jernigan.
Yeah, yeah. We need a wide receiver. We need to get away from that. That's why Jernigan couldn't get on the field.
Right.
And what I'm really seeing more than anything, which is a turnover, is that the owner is willing to give these young men a chance to prove it to them that they should be on the field. And if they were drafted, they should be on the field and given a chance. The Mosley, the the other guys who we, you know, I'm crazy to what I want a defensive lineman. I'm afraid that Hankins and Marcus Cume might not be enough. Hankins not enough in terms of experience, and Hankins coming off Marcus Cume coming off the injury, that we might get weak there where we were strong last year. And are we taking a step back in terms of our defense based on our defensive line not addressing it? Because we did so well on the back end. I mean, we're fixing the back end. I mean, I'm impressed. We're not just fixing it just for now. We're fixing it in terms of future building blocks for this team, which is moving forward, which is what I'm all about. We can talk about Justin Tuck and you know what he did in the past. The real of it all is that he left for the money, okay? He left for the money. He was hurt. He wants to say that we disrespected him. Yo, homie, you know, when you were hurt 2 years in a row and you only had 9 sacks, you were picking up that paycheck. And I'm not a hater on Justin Tuck. I'm just keeping it real. Last year, you had 6 sacks on Washington, two teams, okay? Where did the other 5 come? On 14 other teams. And then you're going to come back and say to us that we disrespected you? Bro, you got more money. You took it. God bless you. That's what I would do.
Hey, look, that's Rolando. That's the business of the NFL. Another team was willing to pay him a lot more, so he left. And look, I get it. Justin Tuck wanted to come back, and whenever a person that you've been with, an organization you've been with for a long time, you know, doesn't want you as much as some stranger, I think it hurts a little bit. But I think once Justin Tuck lets the emotions get out of it, he understands it's a business decision. The Giants understand it's a business decision. I guarantee you when he retires in 2 or 3 years and the Giants start having, like, you know, Justin Tuck Day and, you know, helping out the community and hanging out with fans, I'm sure Tuck's going to come back, settle long-term in New Jersey, and is going to be a big part of this organization for years to come. That to me, is just an emotions thing, and it'll fade away. Trust me, the relationship will be strong. And speaking to Kevin Booth the other day, he was here. He said the same thing. He's going to come back, or he's going to settle in New Jersey, and we're going to see a lot of him. So there isn't any long-term fissure there between Tuck and the Giants.
Okay. I think that's all I have. Every time I speak to you, bro, I got so much in my brain that I get mixed up. Good game last night, and John, thank you for taking my call, and to all the callers who call in, great stuff, bro.
I appreciate it, man.
John, thank you. Too. You have some interviews. I love them.
I appreciate it. Be good, Ro. It's good to hear from Rolando. See, that's good. A lot of stuff in his head. That means he has to keep calling back. That's okay. Was a good win for the Knicks last night. I think that's what Ro was referring to. I will say this, though, about the Knicks. Real quickly, little aside. I'm happy about the winning streak. I don't want to sound like I'm not. I'm thrilled about Phil Jackson. Though I got to admit, it would have been real tough for me to be at a Knick game and give a standing ovation to Phil Jackson, considering how he broke my heart and made me cry as a young kid in Brooklyn watching the Knicks in the mid-90s. God, I hated him. So I'm thrilled he's here. It was a great move. I'm still not sure I can give him a standing ovation. I might not be able to physically do it. Anyway, that being said, this 7-game winning streak is great, but it really gets me angry. Because we all know this team was capable of doing this a lot sooner if they would have cared to try and give the effort that they're giving now. But for some reason, they waited. And now the Atlanta Hawks are on a 5-game winning streak. They're still 4 games out of the loss column to Charlotte to get into the playoffs. Why the hell did you wait this long to try to start and play it? Seriously. Why? That's my little Knick aside. Divinely, again, brings up a good point. Derrick Brown, not the only tight end selected in 1992. Also, Aaron Pierce in the 3rd round, who was another guy that they tried to, you know, replace Howard Cross with, and it never worked. Howard Cross, when you talk to him, it's great. He loves talking about how the Giants kept bringing in people to try to replace him, whether it was Derrick Brown, whether it was Aaron Pierce, whether it was Pete Mitchell later on. And Howard Cross just kept swatting them all away. Kept being the starter. Didn't go anywhere. So, sorry, he loves to tell. 201-939-4513. There was one other thing that Rolando said that I wanted to comment on. I can't think of what it was. Wants to add a defensive lineman. That's fine. Not in the 1st round. I think that's a 2nd or 3rd round pick. I think running back is a 3rd day type of situation. There's one other thing he said that I wanted to comment on. I forget what it was. Oh, well. 201-939-4513. Back to the phone. Shakes is in Baltimore. Shakes, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, buddy?
Doing all right, Shakes. What's up?
Nothing much, man. Just still on my free agency high. You know, Jerry Reese fixed my, he gave me my fix, you know, in my free agency. So I'm really, really pumped about that. But I wanted to talk about this draft and everything because it's an ongoing battle now. It's a debate. Evans or Ebron. Hey, I know you want the Ebron side, aren't you? You put your card in?
I have not put the chips to the center of the table yet. Let me put it this way. I will have my first ever Giants.com mock draft published, I believe, in the second week of April. At that point, I will officially put my chips into the center of the table, a la Jim Fossil.
Okay, can I put devil's advocate on Ebron?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I want to make this clear, though. You know, I like Ebron, and if the Giants do draft him at 12, I will be happy. I will. But let me play devil's advocate on this. I don't like the idea of drafting a tight end that high.
Where do you want to go?
I just don't. Like I said, I wanted to go wide receiver. Either wide receiver or C.J. Mosley.
See, but here's the thing, Shakes. I think that Eric Ebron is a bigger weapon than anybody that'll be on the board at wide receiver that's not named Sammy Watkins or Mike Evans. I think he's a better player than Marquise Lee. I think he's a better player than Kelvin Benjamin. I think he's a better player than Jarvis Landry. I think he's a better player than Odell Beckham. And I think he's a better player than the fast kid out of Oregon. I think Ebron's a better player than all those guys.
Yeah, let me, I'll say this. You know, if Evans is not there, if Evans is picked before 12, okay, yeah, I want either Ebron or Mosley because I wouldn't want to go wide receiver because of just that fact you just said. The only two I see that is worth that 12th pick at wide receiver is Watkins or Evans. So if they gone, you have to go Ebron or C.J. Mosley. I mean, Mosley is instincts, man. He just knows. So with him and Beeson and McClay, and then you got Williams and Payton and Hurst. Oh, man, that's a great linebacker.
No, Shakes, I hear you. But Shakes, what was the problem with the Giants last year? The problem was offense. And you really haven't addressed a lot of your issues on offense yet. I really think you got to go offensive side of the ball with that first-round pick. I really think you do.
You do. That's why I'm really on that Evans trail. So I'm hoping that he will be there at 12. And, that's all I got right now, so I'll call you in the morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Shakes. Appreciate it. Shakes got to work on that reception. It's rough. Tough hearing him. But look, if Evans is there at 12 with Ebron, I'll happily flip a coin. I'll take either one. I really will. All right, we got four calls left on the line. We're going to screen one more. We'll have four people left, and then we're going to wrap up the show. You guys have done a good job. Remember, tomorrow we'll be back on Friday, and we'll have the big debut of Dan Salamone. By the way, I have to give you guys an opportunity here to harass him on Twitter. I want to make sure I have his Twitter handle right before I give it out here. I do follow him. He's a fellow employee, obviously. But I want to make sure that I got this right here. It is at NYG Salamone, and that's S-A-L-O-M-O-N-E. We will rehash the Lance Meadow tradition of spelling out his Twitter handle. That's M-E-D-O-W. If you really want to get Lance upset, by the way, you want to tease him on Twitter, folks, spell his last name like the word Meadow, M-E-A-D-O-W. It gets him so angry. I've been doing it for 10 years. It still doesn't get old, quite honestly. It's fun. He gets very upset. But again, Dan Salamone tomorrow at NYG Salomone. S-A-L-O-M-O-N-E. Check it out. For now, let's close out the show on the phones. Four people up, four people down. Bobby in New Jersey has been holding the longest. Bobby, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, big guy?
Nothing much, Bobby. I'm doing great.
Good. I just wanted to get your opinion on a few things. One,
being with the Crow signing, I think I read this in an article, but kind of makes sense. The Crow signing kind of covers us with Prince next year.
Yeah, it does. You know what? It does make the Giants less on the hook to have to, at any cost, re-sign Prince. Now, I still think, best case scenario, you bring him back because he's a good player, he's a good teammate, he's a good kid. But you're right.
Oh, yeah.
It's not one of those you don't sign him, you're screwed situations now. You do have a little bit of a softer landing if he gets away. But I will say this, unless he has a down year this year, I think Prince is going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, oh, I definitely want him back. I just thought at first when, you know, we didn't have all this money, then we made the big splash, I was like, okay, well, where is this coming from on Jerry Reese's part? And I started looking a little bit, and seeing that he's a free agent next year, we gave Crow a five-year contract. You know, if he has a great year, I kind of also feel like they're going to evaluate if Prince and Thurman, they're both on one-year contracts, and everybody thinks we really got to steal him, this Thurman guy. He just hasn't had a chance to start. I know he's small, but you take them, you see who has a better year, and then, you know, you take the more cap-friendly contract. As much as I think Prince is, I would love to have Prince as a mainstay on our outside for a long time to come. But, you know, we'll see. It's not, it all depends on the money, I guess. But,
no question about it.
Another thing I wanted to ask you with the Ebron thing is I guess there's more behind it because I'm not a GM, you know, we're not really in their shoes. We don't know the inner working. But, I just think Ebron just makes the most sense. I wanted him before all free agency started, and now that free agency started and you see what holes we plug, he's a starter immediately. And I feel like the one thing that nobody really looks at is that we don't have Hakeem this year. When Victor Cruz played without Hakeem, he struggled at times because they load up on him. Reuben Randle has improved to be that guy. I think he has the potential, but you're putting a lot of pressure on him and Jernigan.
I agree.
You take a guy like Ebron, who you know is going to produce, know is going to be a matchup nightmare for these guys that we verse, and you take a lot of the, but besides just getting the straight production you should get from Ebron and all the good from Ebron, you're going to take the pressure off of Randle, Jernigan, Eli, for, you know what I mean, to try and have them step up immediately. You know, they can kind of ease into it.
I agree 100%, and I think, frankly, Ebron is probably a little bit more ready than Evans, because Ebron's coming from more of a pro-style offense in college than Evans is, so I think he might actually start his career off a little bit faster than Evans would. I could be wrong about that, but that's my feel reading about both guys in college.
I think you're spot on, because I've also heard that Evans also kind of, I heard, has a little bit of a, I don't want to say an attitude problem, because you don't want to judge someone before, you know, without really knowing them, but just from his college career, I know that he's had some issues with little things. I forget. Me and my cousin are big Giants fans. We always talk, and he was telling me he watched them a lot in college. He had one game, I think, in the fourth quarter where there was three or four personal fouls just on him.
Really?
Because he couldn't control his, you know, and that just doesn't seem like a guy we take. Or it could be a guy we take that Tom Coughlin thinks he wants to, you know, help. So it kind of goes both ways. I just feel like Ebron's the more sure pick, and especially with all these mock drafts having us taking a tackle, which, I mean, if that happened, if we took a Lewin or, you know, whoever falls to us, I wouldn't be upset because I really don't have a lot of faith in Will Beattie. But I feel like you can get guys like, I know there's a guy, Gabe Jackson, the guy Yankee, I think, from Stanford,
yeah.
He's a guard. They're all supposed to go second round, and they're supposed to be like guys you could plug in right away. And when we've signed Schwartz, you know, we sign this center guy. Maybe we pick up, like you said earlier, the guy from the Saints, who these guys are just sitting on the market waiting. Maybe if they come down. I feel like you take Ebron, maybe you get a couple of those guys mid-round. Maybe you get, like, the Landry, the wide receiver from LSU, who's supposed to fall to the second, third. You know, there's just a lot. I feel like there's a lot of wide receiver depth, a lot of old offensive line depth in the draft. There is some tight end depth, but you're not getting what, you know what I mean? It's like you can get Vernon Davis, or you can get, you know, like a Martellus Bennett, who he's very good, but, you know what I mean, he's not a Jimmy Graham, Vernon Davis kind of guy, which I feel like we've never had since Shockey, but Shockey has the attitude problem. Why not bring in a guy who's cool, calm, and collected, Giants fan his whole life? He's going to love the organization. I could even see after his rookie contract, you know what I mean, almost not giving a hometown discount because he's going to get his money, but just long-term, he would probably want to stay with the Giants. That would be a dream come true to him, you know?
I'm with you. I appreciate the call.
No problem. Have a good day, buddy.
Hey, have a good one. 201-939-4513. I'm with you on a lot of that stuff. Now, again, just looking at some of the stuff on Ebron, he's not a perfect player, right? I mean, while he has the body and the raw, you know, physical traits to be a good blocker, you know, he's been inconsistent at that in college. But he has said, and he said it right in front of me at the combine, that he's trying to get better and he wants to be an all-around tight end, be like a Vernon Davis type of player. So I think that's something you like. He did have some concentration drops in college, which I know will probably drive some Giant fans nuts. He had a relatively high, you know, drop percentage on passes where he just, you know, wasn't focused enough, that were easy catches. But he makes circus catches. He's an athlete. He gets down the field. He can separate. He's a little raw as a route runner. But I'm telling you, I really, really like what I see. And that's why I'm a big fan of his. And I think Evans is good. I like Evans. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, there are enough questions, I think, where you wonder. But again, I'd be good with either guy at 12. I'm happy with both. I'm not trying to put Evans down. I like him. But right now, if I had to choose, I think I'd take Ebron over him. But again, let's wait for Ebron's pro day, too, before we make a decision on that. That's coming up, I think, next week, I said, if I recall. So let's wait and see. 201-939-4513. Len is in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, John, how you doing?
What's up?
Good. Listen, Dan writes some good stuff, so this should be fun to hear him, talking to the fans.
Dan is mostly around the average mark, but he occasionally pulls something out of his rear end. It's okay.
Listen, Derek Brown is a can't miss. Holy cow. He was can't miss until, John, I don't know if you remember this, but
he put on pads?
Maybe the second day of training camp in a classic welcome to the NFL moment.
What did Lawrence Taylor do to him?
Lawrence Taylor broke his face mask.
Yep.
He was never the same. Never the same. But you know what? If I remember correctly, he went to Oakland, played in Oakland for a number of years. He probably got 8 or 9, maybe 10 years in the NFL.
Did he really?
Yeah, I believe so. I'd have to go back and check.
I'll look it up.
I know he went to Oakland. I know he played in Oakland for a while.
Here we go. Pro Football Reference, Derek Brown. I got it right here. Yeah, Derek Brown, he played, let's see. It looks like, as my computer starts to freeze here, perfect timing. It looks like, yeah, he played with the Giants from 92 to 94, where he had 11 catches. Then he went to Jacksonville for the first 2 years under Tom Coughlin. He had 17 catches 1 year there. He played in Oakland for 1 year in 98, and then he played in Arizona in 99. So he had a 7-year NFL career.
All right. Well, he 7 years. But
43 total receptions in those seven seasons, Len.
Well, he was just the prototype tight end.
6'6", 260. Whew.
A big-time college football, playing at Notre Dame.
Yep.
Just can't miss. Listen, it seems like the Giants have moved past Terrell Thomas, Bear Pasco, and Kevin Booth. I think the second year, a little bit of security made a big difference to Kevin Booth and going out there rather than probably signing a 1 year with the Giants.
Yeah, but I agree.
It's tough to give a backup lineman a second year unless he's, on the rookie contract. You got to go 1 year at those backup, the backup linemen. And, he did an okay job for us. Hope things work out for him in Oakland. It sounds like Ebron is trending. Oh, my gosh. Everybody wants Ebron.
Well, I think, Len,
I think
it's a combination of his skills, but also I think people just see the gaping hole at tight end. And, frankly, they also see the fact that there aren't any free agents out there that anybody wants.
Tongue in cheek, but clarify for me. Did he say he wants to be a good blocker or he is a good blocker?
He said he wants – that's the one area of his game that he wants to improve and get better at.
I see.
No, but, okay. Len, I do think it's a good thing when a player admits that he might not be as good as something as he wants to be. I think that's actually a good sign. I'd rather have a guy that does that than say, oh, I'm fine as a blocker, but in reality, he stinks. I'd rather have a guy that admits he needs to get better and is willing to try to improve that.
Okay, I don't want you to read me wrong. If we pick Ebron, I think it'll be a good pick, and I think he'll catch a lot of passes for us and certainly is a threat. I would go in a little different direction. One thing on Evans, the one thing I like about Evans, John, he goes out and gets the ball.
Yep.
Those big, if that ball is anywhere near him, he doesn't wait for it to come into his chest. He gets those long arms and big hands, and he goes out and snatches the ball right out of the air, John. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Hey, can we make a case for Lewan?
Yes. I was just about to put this tweet out to my man at tweets, .. And I think the three guys you have on your radar, 12, are Evans, if he's there, Ebron, and I think Taylor Lewan is the third guy.
All right, let's make a case.
Make the case. Go for it.
How do we get him? How do we get him on the field on day one? How about Lewan at left tackle? How about Schwartz at left guard? Keeping our fingers crossed on Walden at center. Pugh at right guard and Beatty at right tackle. If he's healthy.
Well, I think that's one option. I think it's probably more likely, Len, to be honest with you, that they leave Beatty out there at left tackle and they put Lewan at right tackle in his rookie year with the plan of eventually moving him over. But I could see it working out both ways. And then you move Pugh inside, and I guess then you're almost kind of assuming that, you know, Christie isn't going to be able to do it this year, which I'm sure he wouldn't be happy about. But it's something that, you know, you have to get Pugh on the field. He was your best lineman last year.
Now, I guess this is why I'm not a general manager, and Jerry continually does a better job than I would do. But with Lewan, I'm kind of a disciplined guy, John. I like seniors. I like four-year guys. I like, particularly in the first round, I like major college guys. And I like them to play the position in the pros that they played in college. We need a left tackle. We need it, you know. Go get Lewan, but commit to the fact that he's a left tackle. For me, John, this is just for me.
Yep.
If you can't commit to Lewan as a left tackle, go in another direction.
Len, I hear you, but I don't think left tackle and right tackle is the equivalent of like a 4-3 or 3-4 outside linebacker. I think moving side to side at the same position isn't a huge change. Now, if you're moving him inside, I think it's a different conversation. But I think moving him from side to side to tackle is not that big of a deal. But generally, I agree with your theme.
Okay. Now, let me just say one more thing.
Yeah.
And then you can cut me off. The other one, you know, I'm not shooting myself down with this, but the one thing about moving Lewan to the right, the strength of moving Lewan to the right side is he's a mauler. And I think that right tackle has to be a run blocker almost more than he has to be a pass blocker. Not that Lewan is a bad pass blocker. But, you know, in the end, if you said, and certainly the Giants coaches know more than I do, if you move them to the right side, you got a mauler over there. And with Pugh inside, wow, that right side is really pretty dangerous. Really pretty dangerous. But any one of those three guys, I'll be happy. Whatever name you write down, John, find the fastest guy in the Quest Center and run to the stage. You're going to have some time trials in the Quest Center to who can run that name up to the stage.
Oh, man.
With that 12th pick. Because any of those three guys, I think any of those three guys are first-day starters.
I agree.
First-day starters.
I'm with you, Len.
Can I say one other
thing? Yeah, real quick.
All right. Sometimes with these big-name guys, these stars, the adulation at the college level, I always worry about the big game idea. You know, at Michigan, 12 times a year you play big games. Everything is huge. I mean, the parking lots are filled with trailers on Thursday. You can't go to Starbucks without signing 300 autographs. I mean, it's a frenzy. Even when you go on the road, you go across the state line into Indiana, and you start hearing that song from South Bend. I mean, everything's a big game. I wonder sometimes whether or not, you know, you say to the guys, okay, we got a big game against Jacksonville this weekend, guys. This is Tom talking. We got a big day against Jacksonville. Lawan sits there and says, Jacksonville? Man, have you ever been to Ohio State to see Michigan, Ohio State? I don't know. Something about how you convince these guys that 16 times a year there's a big game. We're in college, you're just forced into it. Hey, listen,
thanks,
pick Lawan, pick Ebron, pick Evans. We're heading in the right direction.
Cool.
Thanks, John.
All right. And look, I also don't want to make Giant fans think here that I have some type of inside knowledge from upstairs and I know those are the only three guys on their board and that's where they're going. I don't. This is my analysis. Just want to make sure I'm clear on that. You know, trust me, they're taking a long, hard look at C.J. Mosley. That one's for you, Shakes. They're taking a long, hard look at Anthony Barr. I think that was Victor in Texas that brought up Anthony Barr yesterday. I'm trying to remember. Somebody brought up Anthony Barr on the phone yesterday. I forget who it was. But they'll look at him. Heck, they'll even look at Marquise Lee, a wide receiver that probably is a little bit more polished than Mike Evans is at the USC. I'm sure they'll look at the other wide receivers. They'll look at the other offensive linemen. You know, Matthews, if he happens to fall that far, they'll look at him. Greg Robinson, who I would be blown away if he fell, they'll look at him too. But I think that's where you're narrowing in here at 12. I know, you know, there could be the best defensive tackle in the draft on the board like an Aaron Donald. I just don't see it. I think he'll be a great player. I really do. I think Aaron Donald's going to be a great pro. All over the field last year. And that's why you like Aaron Donald, because he had great game tape, he had great numbers, and he had a great combine. There are no red flags with that guy except for short arms. And I had those short arms work out for Justin Pugh last year. Pretty good. 201-939-4513. Two more calls before we say goodbye. Marcus is in Philadelphia. Marcus, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, John? How you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
That's good. I actually have two comments and a question, but before I get to that, I listen to the show every day. I call Lynn, and I usually agree with Lynn. He has a lot of knowledge, but the statement that he just made about picking Lawan kind of would be scary, because if you kick Lawan over to right tackle, that means you're probably going to kick Pugh into right guard, because we brought Swartzen to play left guard. Now you have a rookie playing right tackle and a second year playing a totally new position at right guard, and that's kind of scary over there on that right side. So I don't know if that will be a great move, in my opinion. But with that being said, I called in yesterday, and I hear people jumping on the Eric Ebron thing. I called about Eric Ebron yesterday. So what I did was I went online last night, and I looked at a lot of footage from Green Bay to see the way this JaMychal Finley was used. And this guy was all over the place. He lined up wide. He lined up as a slot. He lined up in line as a regular traditional tight end. They even lined this guy up in the backfield. So based off of what I've seen about Ebron, Finley is nowhere near the athlete that Ebron is. So with Ben McAdoo's his fondness for tight ends, being a former tight end coach, I would think that he would go after Ebron because he can use him in a similar type fashion. This guy all over the place.
Marcus, I think that is a phenomenal point, and Ebron fits into that type of mold the way they use Finley in Green Bay. I think that's an excellent point.
Right, and I really, I hear people jumping on this, so I just wanted to see it for myself the way that Green Bay used Finley. They had this guy all over the place. My second point is, I know that we, and this is something that probably a lot of people, they don't look at, but while looking at this footage, I noticed that Green Bay did a lot of wishbone. They lined up two fullbacks and a running back. A running back, a fullback, and a tight end all
yep.
in the backfield.
They do that. Correct.
So do you think that's the reason why we brought Hynoski back, to maybe have two fullbacks? I don't know. I know you don't want to take up a roster spot just for a fullback to come in maybe five plays a game, but maybe that's a formation that we could use, maybe go big and heavy, have two fullbacks and a running back in the backfield. Peyton Hillis even maybe in the backfield and run formations like that. Do you think that's something that they may look at?
I don't think they would necessarily put two fullbacks back there, or Payne Hillis and then whoever it is, Hanoski or John Connor. I could see formations where you have the running back, fullback, and the tight end as the third guy back there, you know, whomever that's going to be. I just think you limit your options too much if you have three running backs back there, especially if none of them are dynamic, catching balls out of the backfield. I know Hillis is pretty good at it. Rashad Jennings is pretty good at it, but I don't think they'll do much of that crazy heavy stuff with multiple backs in the backfield. I just don't think that's Tom Coughlin's way.
Okay, and my comment is, myself as well, I'm high on Mike Evans. I'm high on Eric Ebron. But I'm going to throw a hypothetical out there, and I'll listen to your answer off the phone. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, Mike Evans, Eric Ebron, they're both going at 12. What are the chances of us moving back, trading that number 12 pick, maybe collecting maybe an additional two, maybe an additional three, because everything that I'm reading, this is one of the deeper drafts in years. We have several holes that we still have to fill. I think that we can go back into the draft, move maybe five or six spots in the first round. There's still five or four other really good tight ends. The kid from Notre Dame, you got the kid from Iowa, Washington, and this kid from Texas Tech.
Yep.
That are still there. We can move back in the draft, get our tight end, get an additional pick or two, hit that offensive line, and then get our defensive line with picking up extra picks with more picks because this draft is so deep. That's pretty much my comment, John. I'll listen to it off the air, and thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thanks, Marcus. Good to hear from Marcus down in Philly, one of our better callers. Good to hear from an enemy territory down there. I would not have an issue with the Giants trading down, but I will give a caveat to that. I do not want to trade down past 20. Because I do think that there's a bit of a drop at some point in the middle of that first round where you get from elite talent to not quite as elite talent. And when you have a bad year like the Giants had last year, you want to be able to take advantage of that in the draft and pick a guy that's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler. So I don't want to trade down to the point where I go from drafting a potentially great player to a guy that's potentially just very good. I still want that premier high, you know, ceiling type of guy. But I do like the idea of picking up extra picks. I think if you get an extra two or an extra three or both, you can get starters with those picks in this year's draft. That's how deep it is. I mean, there are players all over the place. There really are. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Emilio in Staten Island. Emilio, what's going on?
How you doing, pal?
I'm doing well, Emilio. How's everything with you?
I can't complain. First off, we can't have like a Dave Brown, Jared Bunch type of first round.
No, obviously not. That would be a disaster. And by the way, my man NF Jintz wants me to lay off Derek Brown. So that'll be the last time I mention Derek Brown on this show. No worries.
Well, I didn't mean it to pick on him.
No,
just
it's okay.
It didn't work out for us.
Yes.
And two, I think Booth was a mistake. He played really well at center for us last year.
Honestly, I think Booth is a better guard than he is a center. But, yeah, look, Kevin Booth to me is a perfect guy to have on your football team. He's a safety net. He's a good guy in the locker room. He's smart. He'll do anything you ask of him, and I think he will be missed.
And the problem is Will Beatty is not a left tackle.
Yeah, but he is. That's the problem.
Yeah, obviously he is money-wise, but he is not a left tackle. And what about this scenario? Let's say we pick. You got Justin Gilbert there. Mike Evans, Taylor Lewan, Ebron. With Justin Gilbert being there, don't you think our crosstown rivals would be foaming from the mouth to trade with us?
I think the Jets would be pretty excited to pick a corner in the first round, considering they've apparently decided not to spend a lot of their cap space on a position that they desperately need.
So moving down six spots wouldn't be such a bad deal.
I would be willing to consider that going down to 18. I think at 18, you know, you can still get maybe Zach Martin, the offensive lineman out of Notre Dame. He's a guy you can get at 18. If you like one of the other tight ends, maybe Marquise Lee, Odell Beckham. I think those are other guys you could look at. And a lot of people like Kelvin Benjamin. That's another wide receiver you could consider at 18. I think you have enough options at 18 where you can still get an excellent player, assuming – you know, you get enough of a bang for your buck in that deal. I mean, if you're moving down from 12 to 18, I would like to get your second-round pick, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt. Maybe even a little more. You might be able, you know, to get a little bit more out of them.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, who do they have in the defensive backfield, the Jets, right now?
They got a whole lot of nobody. They got D. Milner, and they have the kid they drafted in the first round 4 years ago,
Gilbert,
right? Wilson.
Isn't Justin Gilbert by far the best DB in his draft?
Well, I think Gilbert and Denard are 1A and 1B. I know some people that actually like Denard more than they like Gilbert, but those are definitely the top two guys.
That's my point. I mean, for them to come move up and get somebody like this, they're going to have to pay. I mean, I take it like a second and a fifth.
Right.
Or something to that effect. You know, and another thing that worries me is D-line. I mean, we got question marks all over that D-line. Think about it. You lose a really, really solid tackle. You got question marks with our stud. Yeah, I love him. Don't get me wrong. He's a stud. But he's been hurt the last 2 years. You know what I mean? We have to draft some D-linemen, too.
Yes. To me, the biggest needs in the draft right now, Emilio, is tight end, and not necessarily in this order, but tight end, wide receiver, defensive line, specifically defensive end, in my opinion, and then also you have, what am I missing, offensive line.
Yeah, what's going on with this kid Kuhn that we drafted a few years back?
Kuhn, you know, he was coming off the ACL last year. I know the Giants had really high hopes for him. They think he's going to be a player. So he'll have the opportunity to earn playing time in the offseason. But I think considering they haven't brought back a Mike Patterson yet, I think it shows the type of confidence they have in Marcus Kuhn.
So in their opinion, they're good at D-tackle with the kid from last year, the second rounder, and Kuhn.
And Colin Jenkins.
Well, yeah, Jenkins to me is more of a... I mean, he can move around the line, Jenkins.
Yeah,
you know,
he
you can put him outside.
Yeah, you can.
You know?
But I think
I'm talking about, you know, your prototypical
nose tackle,
you know,
types.
Run stuff and tackle.
I got
the
you.
The guy that's going to be your beef up front.
Yes,
I really don't look at him as that.
I think the Giants are pretty confident that Hankins will be that guy. Kuhn, I'm not sure if he has the prototypical size to be that type of, you know, run stopper in the middle. He's more of a three technique guy,
in
my opinion.
If I remember right. If I remember right, he's really powerful. He like killed the bench press at the combine.
Yes, he is a very,
a ridiculous
very,
number. So
he is a very strong
kid. Like 39.
He is a very strong kid, no question about it.
Yeah, so I mean, even if you're 290, but if you got that power, you know, you could do some damage.
Emilio, I agree. I could see the Giants taking a defensive tackle in the middle rounds, maybe on day two, but I think more likely.
Oh, absolutely not day one.
No, absolutely. I would be very, very surprised if the Giants took a defensive tackle on day one. To me, if they do not pick an offensive player in round one this year, I would be pretty blown away. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, listen, I love Ebron. I mean, I really do. He's not an inline blocker by any means. But he is a matchup nightmare.
But I think Emilio,
what are you gonna come him with?
He has the body where he could become at least a decent inline blocker. I think he has it in him. If he wants to do it, I think he can. But a guy like Jason Morrow, I don't think he has that in him. I don't think he can become that guy, but I think Ebron can.
No, absolutely agreed. I'm just stating fact from right now.
Yeah.
He's not an inline blocker right now, but he is a matchup nightmare on the outside.
Emilio, I appreciate the call, my friend.
Thank you, Bob.
I appreciate it. Good stuff out of Emilio. Good job, everybody else. We have a production meeting we have to get to, so I need to go. Everybody, thanks. Good job on the phones. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Giants.com. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Get to give Dan Salamone a hard time for about an hour. That'll be fun. We'll see you then. Have a good one. Enjoy the NCAA tournament.